Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today we continue taking a look at the New Testament book of 1 John. As we start today, I'll read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Well, here we have a familiar passage which is very helpful to our own spiritual growth. John begins with those words, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." John says, "Do not love the world." Giving some thought to that word love can be helpful here. The word love in this context comes from the familiar Greek word agape. As you may remember, agape love is a self-sacrificing, self-giving love. It's intentional, it's purposeful, it's not dependent upon feelings. It's a sacrificial and self-giving love, expecting nothing in return. This is the kind of love God has for His redeemed people, and it's the kind of love that believers are to have for God. It's a deep, self-sacrificing affection, a devotion to God and not the world. John is saying, stop having a warm regard for the things of the world. Don't cherish the world. Stop exhibiting affection for the world. Stop showing special devotion to the world. Stop striving after the world. The word world is the English translation of the Greek word cosmos, which refers to an ordered system, a system where order prevails. In this context, the word world refers to the invisible spiritual system that is dominated by Satan. John's not using the word in a material sense. He's using it in an ethical sense. It doesn't refer to the physical world. John's not suggesting that we have no interest in the environment, oceans, mountains, flowers, and so on. John's not suggesting that we have no interest in humanity in general. In using the word world in this context, John is referring to the spiritual system that is opposed to God and God's purposes. The world stands in opposition to God. The world offers nothing but spiritual opposition, spiritual disruption, and spiritual destruction. The world is that system which mankind has built where he tries to make himself happy without God. The world system is backed and energized by Satan, of course. It's a worldwide system that's very vibrant and very active and very evil because it's opposed to biblical truth and the very character of God. It's a system that's very active today. It's a system where people are excited about all kinds of things, the arts, the sciences, business, and all manner of pleasures, everything and anything that will make them happy without God. The world systematically attempts to erase God from every aspect of life. The world promotes the endless search for significance and the endless search for happiness, while at the same time suppressing any supposed influence from God. The world is a system, a supernaturally energized system. It's a system that's forcefully in opposition to God, and that opposition reveals itself in everyday life through the never-ending search for power and pleasure. The world is a system that uses everything and anything to suppress, or at least cool, our interest in the things of God. It's a system that never tires in its attempt to distract us from Jesus Christ. It's a system that never tires in its attempts to minimize the influence of God in the lives of people. The world, the cosmos, is the absolute opposite of chaos. Chaos means unordered or disordered. Cosmos is very much ordered. It's very much planned. It's very much arranged, and it's very much structured. This system has Satan as its architect and builder. It's intentionally structured to be against God, against God's purposes, and against God's people. Now, as I mentioned, John is writing from an ethical, not material viewpoint. He's not saying that we shouldn't care for the physical world in which we live. John is saying that we must be careful about getting caught up in a system that has no place for God in its thinking. John sees the human condition as being tragically infected with sin, and he sees the world, its economic systems, its political systems, its educational systems, and even its religious systems as being dominated and influenced by the evil one. In fact, in 1 John 5:19, the apostle writes this, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So, the apostle John is giving us some helpful advice if we'll just use it. We all must be very careful about loving the world. We must be very careful about sacrificially giving ourselves to a system that at its core is opposed to God. We must be very careful about self-sacrificing ourselves on the altar of the world's systems that minimize the influence of God at all costs. We must be very careful about aligning ourselves with systems that actively attempt to suppress God's influence. John's not calling for a monastic separation from the world, but John is calling for an inner attitude of separation from the sinful world and its practices. Followers of Jesus, disciples, must have their priorities in the right place. Our loyalties are to be with God, not the world. John wants all of his readers to be on guard against permissive or kindly feelings towards the world's evil systems. John wants us to be on guard and be careful not to establish intimate, close ties with the activities and practices, the systems, that at their core oppose the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. Now, this is enormously challenging. And once again, we are faced with a beautiful element of biblical truth. This principle of not loving the world is enormously challenging, but we're all up for a good challenge, aren't we? The truth is that we, in our natural strength, cannot possibly hope to obey this command as a lifestyle. And by the way, it is a command. Do not love the world or the things in the world. That is a command. And in our natural strength, we cannot possibly obey it. So, is John being unrealistic? Is John being delusional as he issues this command? No, John is not delusional. Once again, we're faced with the supernatural roots of the faith we claim as Christians. Repeatedly, we are commanded to think and act in ways that are humanly impossible in our natural, unredeemed state. The natural, unredeemed human mind cannot help but fall in love with the world and the things of the world. Now, here's the beautiful thing. In order to obey this command, in order to be biblically successful, we absolutely must have the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We must continually seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit who will give us the supernatural power that enables us to obey John's command. Sure, each of us will stumble and fail to keep this command from time to time. Only Jesus could keep it perfectly. But that's no excuse for us not to exert Spirit-empowered effort to obey. John's not advocating perfection, but he is advocating direction. In other words, we can look at our life and determine whether the general direction of our life is moving towards heaven or is it moving towards the world. We can look at our own life, looking at the things we watch, the places we go, the items we purchase, the conversations we have, and our preoccupations. We can look at all that. We can look at our own life and determine if we actually love God or love the world. Now, it is possible to use the things of the world in a good way. Smartphones, cars, computers, banks, schools, and all those kinds of things. It's possible to use the things of the world without loving them with an agape love. But we have to be very careful. Anything that competes with our love and devotion to God is an idol. It has captured our mind. Rather than our mind being preoccupied with Jesus and devoted to God, it's preoccupied with the world's systems and the things of the world. This is idolatry. So, my friend, we live in tension. On the one hand, the systems of the world surround us. It seems there's no getting away from it. But on the other hand, be encouraged. We were not meant to face the world on our own, under our own self-generated power. We were designed to face the world in the strength that God provides, spiritual strength, indwelling strength. And that empowerment is a reality for the born-again, redeemed child of God. It's a reality for those who've made the commitment to follow Jesus. Every one of the commands in the New Testament should remind us of our need to cast off self-reliance and to rely completely on the power of God indwelling in us. Next time, we'll continue to think about John's caution against loving the world and the things of the world. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.